leader.
Order, order.
Parliament adjourned for a fortnight back on Tuesday, April the 8th, giving the government a chance to lick its wounds with two of its cabinet ministers under concerted opposition attack. Education Minister Heikki Ipparata this week joined Justice Minister Judith Collins in the dog box over her handling of an independent inquiry into allegations of financial mismanagement at the Kohangareo National Trust. Hours after declaring that the inquiry had cleared the trust of any wrongdoing, the minister turned on its board and called in the Sirius Ford office to investigate its wholly owned subsidiary company, TPO. Among questions for her on Thursday was this one from the New Zealand First Party's education spokeswoman, Tracy Martin.
Would the minister agree that her department's failure of oversight over this public money has now put the tōanga of Kohangareo at risk? And if not, why not?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Honourable Heikki Ipparata.
Mr. Speaker, no, because the Ministry of Education monitors the Kohangareo and reported in October that there was no indication of impropriety of public funding. That's been confirmed here. But what I do think has happened at putting at risk of this tāonga is the Trust Board failing to step up and act responsibly in making these allegations and how they deal with them public.
Labor's request for an urgent debate was declined by the Speaker, David Carter.
A question has been addressed to the Associate Minister today, and the House is about to embark on a general debate. In these circumstances, I am not persuaded that the matter deserves the immediate attention of the House today.
Following that ruling from the Speaker, Wednesday's general debate provided Labor's education spokesman Chris Hipkins with the opportunity to complain that the independent inquiry had not looked into the very allegations that prompted it.
The inquiry didn't even look at those things. And then Heikki Ipparata and Peter Sharples called a press conference in the dead of night to announce the results of this inquiry. And they wonder why it is that people think that this government aren't being upfront and are being arrogant and out of touch.
Also in the general debate, the claim by Justice Minister Judith Collins that she had not been in China to promote the interests of the Oravida Milk Exporting Company, in which her husband is a director, received some sceptical scrutiny from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Oravida arranged a dinner in Beijing last year. They invited a senior and influential New Zealand government minister, Judith Collins. They invited a senior Chinese border official. This was not some spontaneous last-minute casual brief encounter. This was an intentional business meeting.
Mr. Peters also questioned the minister's visit to Oravida's office in Shanghai.
If her explanation yesterday for the circuitous route to the airport, that is, she didn't know where she was, is true, then why did she say on March 4th that she just popped into Oravida to have a cup of tea on the way to the airport?
That earned Mr. Peters a quick lesson on alternative meanings of pop-in.
The term pop-in is in fact it's not a statement of fact, it's an opinion. But I can tell that member it is a colloquialism.
Judith Collins, who next day had questions for her answered by the Attorney General, Christopher Finlayson.
The Minister has apologised for the errors that she has made, particularly in not answering questions in that broad way as commended to her by the Prime Minister. She's apologised.
Coming to the end of his questions for Judith Collins, Labor's Grant Robertson raised a cheeky point of order.
Mr. Speaker, I raise what is a potentially serious matter with you, given your role as the person responsible for the precincts here, about what might be happening with the food at Copperfields, because Judith Collins was there at 1 o'clock and she hasn't made it to the house, so something must be wrong.
The member will make an attempt to become more familiar with standing orders. The member should not draw attention to the absence of a minister from this House.
But he won't find anything about it in standing orders. It's merely a convention established in the Speaker's ruling back in 1961, a convention that Mr. Robertson challenged again.
Mr. Speaker, I know that we don't refer to the absence of members, but I do want to refer today to the absence of a staff member. That is Mary Harris, the Clerk of the House, who's not with us today because she is receiving her honour at Government House Queen's Service Medal for services to Parliament. Mr. Speaker, I think it's appropriate to record on the records of Parliament our appreciation for Mary's terrific contribution to Parliament over many years and congratulate her heartily on this honour.
finally, the two measures passed this week were the Electoral Amendment Bill and the Families Commission Amendment Bill. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.